Hong Kong needs this piece of legislation for the bigger benefit of the great majority of Hong Kong people.
Carrie Lam says everything will be all right. It's Wednesday, May 27th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also ahead, some disappointing news from the World Health Organization. While one country is speeding toward what was normal, another is seeing the number of virus victims expand very quickly. Western Australia is alarmed about a freight ship docked on its west coast. And U.S. astronauts are scheduled to take off today from Florida on a privately made rocket. It is all on today's VOA Asia. China's plans to impose a new security law in Hong Kong will not erode freedoms, the city's leader said Tuesday, as she tried to reassure international business and investors alarmed by the proposal. Chief Executive Carrie Lam said the controversial law would only target a handful of lawbreakers.
If we want to protect the majority of the people, then if the minority of the people, indeed a very small minority of people, are going to breach the law, to organize and participate in terrorist activities, to subvert the state power, then of course they have to be bounded by the needed legislation. That Hong Kong's freedoms will be preserved, and Hong Kong's vibrancy and core values in terms of the rule of law, the independence of the judiciary, the various rights and freedoms enjoyed by people will continue to be there.
Beijing wants to enact legislation banning secession, subversion, terrorism, and foreign interference in the international finance hub after months of massive, often violent pro-democracy protests last year. Many Hong Kongers, business group, and Western nations fear the proposal could be a death blow to the city's treasured liberties and usher in an end to the semi-autonomous city passing its own laws. The announcement of plans for the new law, which will be written by Beijing and bypass Hong Kong's legislature, sparked the biggest drop on the city's stock exchange in 5 years on Friday. But Lam said fears the city's business-friendly freedoms were at risk were totally groundless.
Hong Kong's freedoms will be preserved, and Hong Kong's vibrancy and core values in terms of the rule of law, the independence of the judiciary, the various rights and freedoms enjoyed by people will continue to be there.
At a Tuesday news conference, Lam was asked if the controversial law would lead to a complete ban on the type of protests that have rocked the city recently.
Some of the things that you have said about mainland agencies coming down to arrest people undergoing protest, and they will be arrested, the calling the chief executive to step down at the moment are your imaginations, or things that have been said by some people. We are a very free society, so for the time being, people have this freedom to say whatever they want to say. So protest itself is an expression of freedoms and rights and opinions. If it is done in a legal way, okay, you must observe the law. Everybody has a right to observe the law. So it is just not quite reasonable for you to ask me to guarantee that a certain type of protest will be allowed, another type will not be allowed. It has to depend on the circumstances and whether it has been done in a legal fashion.
U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo Friday called China's proposed national security legislation on Hong Kong disastrous and said it could have an impact on the favorable economic treatment the territory receives from the United States. The European Union Tuesday said China must respect Hong Kong's autonomy. Speaking after a video conference with Japan's Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, European Council President Charles Michel, who represents European governments, said we are not naive about Chinese behaviors.
We attach a great importance to the preservation of Hong Kong's high degree of autonomy in line with the basic law and the international commitments. And we are in permanent dialogue also with the Chinese authorities in order to express our opinions and to defend our interests. And you know that we support also this important principle, one country, two systems.
EU foreign ministers are expected to discuss the issue at a regular meeting on Friday. We invite you to read more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the voanews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now at voanews.com. Both North and South Korea were at fault when they exchanged gunfire earlier this month across their heavily fortified shared border, that according to a probe by the United Nations Command. Pakistan confirms that arch-rival India is proposing a trilateral response in partnership with Iran to fight a crop-killing desert locust invasion. A day after Japan ended its state of emergency, Tokyo residents took to the streets with a mixture of relief and trepidation as they prepare for a new normal of living with the novel coronavirus. Observers in India say a Himalayan border standoff between old foes India and China was triggered by India's construction of roads and airstrips in the region. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia and on the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. The World Health Organization's executive director has warned that the world remains in the midst of the coronavirus outbreak as countries continue to struggle to contain it and others rapidly reopen even as cases rise. Dr. Mike Ryan said, "We're right in the middle of the first wave globally. We're still very much in a phase where the disease is actually on the way up."
When we speak about a second wave, classically, what we often mean is that there will be a first wave, the disease by itself effectively goes to a very low level and then occurs a number of months later. What we're concerned about, and that may be a reality for many countries in a number of months' time, but we need to be also cognizant of the fact that the disease can jump up at any time. We cannot make assumptions that just because the disease is on the way down now that it's going to keep going down and then we're going to get a number of months to get ready for a second wave. We may get a second peak in this wave.
Ryan warned North America, Europe, Southeast Asia, and other parts of the world not to relax coronavirus control measures too quickly. His comments diminish expectations for a swift worldwide economic recovery and renewed international global travel. A new coronavirus cluster was detected on Tuesday on a freight ship berthed in the Australian West Coast port of Fremantle, raising questions about why local authorities were not alerted to the danger. 6 of the 48 crew members from the Al Kuwait tested positive to the virus 4 days after the livestock carrier arrived from the United Arab Emirates on Friday. That according to Western Australia State Premier Mark McGowan.
The Al Kuwait departed United Arab Emirates on the 7th of May with a total of 48 crew members on board. This morning, 7 crew members were tested for COVID-19. 6 have tested positive, all males, and are being moved off the ship to a Perth hotel for quarantine.
The ship's cargo of 56,000 sheep is being held at a feedlot near the port. They were to be loaded within days and cannot be returned to farms because of quarantine restrictions. Authorities expect more crew will get sick and the ship would need to be deep cleaned before it can leave. Happening now in Asia, Thailand's cabinet on Tuesday extended an emergency decree to fight the coronavirus to June 30th. With the spokeswoman denying opposition suggestions that the prime minister, a one-time junta leader, was seeking a return to unchecked powers. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. By the end of this week, New Zealand will have some of the world's most relaxed COVID-19 controls. Gatherings of up to 100 people will be permitted starting Friday, up from the previous limit of 10. New Zealand has about 1,500 reported or probable coronavirus infections. 21 people have died. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
In March, New Zealand imposed some of the world's toughest COVID-19 lockdown measures. At the time, the South Pacific nation of 5 million people had recorded just over 100 confirmed cases of the disease. Many of the restrictions on freedom of movement and business have been wound back, and New Zealand has been able to avoid a second wave of infection so far. Health officials have advised the government that larger gatherings of up to 100 people should be safe if distancing and hygiene protocols are followed. Beginning Friday, larger church services would be allowed to resume, while cafes and restaurants would also be able to serve more customers. Community sports will also begin again. New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.
The shift to 100-person maximum means many more gatherings will be able to occur from now on. These changes are good news for business and for those looking to plan larger gatherings. It's another step in renormalising of life as we continue to stamp out the virus. It is the government's view that we should also move as quickly as we safely can to alert level one.
The government will continue to monitor COVID-19 cases and the impact that the removal of disease controls have. A decision on whether to further wind back measures to the lowest, level one, is due in 4 weeks' time. Authorities are, however, warning against complacency. New Zealand's international borders remain closed to foreign nationals, and like neighbouring Australia, New Zealand has used geography and relative isolation to stem the flow of infections coming in from overseas. New Zealand has also announced a new $230 weekly payment to workers who've lost jobs during the pandemic. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Quite a few other countries are at the other end of the scale. India is one. Charles de Ledesma reports.
The Health Ministry has counted 145,000 total infection cases and a one-day gain of just over 6,500. Most of the cases are concentrated in two neighbouring states, Maharashtra and Gujarat. An uptick in cases has also been signalled in some of the country's poorest eastern states, as migrant workers returning to native villages from the larger cities have begun arriving home on special trains. India's virus caseload has been climbing as lockdown restrictions have eased. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see, with links to easily find them. With VOA Asia, also follow radio program hosts VOA Stevenson and VOA Melman. VOA Asia Twitter. We're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia, demand for virtual private networks in Hong Kong surged more than sixfold last week as Beijing proposed tough new national security laws for the financial hub, reflecting concerns over internet privacy, according to one VPN provider. All the big stories come your way throughout the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. This is Business Scene. I'm Ira Melman. Domestic airline travel partially resumed in India as the country eases its coronavirus lockdown restrictions despite adding more than 6,000 new infections per day. At New Delhi's Indira Gandhi International Airport, passengers in masks and some even in full protective suits stood in long lines to show their identification and boarding passes to security personnel who stood behind plastic partitions. Airport workers sanitized baggage and masks, sanitizer and face shields were on sale in stores inside the airport. India's Supreme Court ordered for social distancing to be observed in airports and on flights, forcing airlines to keep middle seats open. Bashir Ahmad Zargar is a passenger. Coronavirus is very dangerous. We have to accept it and we have to take all these measures which government is asking us to do. Commercial flight traffic has returned across India except for the states of Andhra Pradesh and West Bengal. Meryl Prabhat is a cybersecurity engineer who works in France. I came here for a vacation in March for a month, but I got stuck here because of the lockdown. And now I have a chance to fly back to France, so I'm taking it. India eased the lockdown earlier this month by reopening shops and manufacturing. However, schools and colleges, shopping malls, movie theaters, and religious places remain closed. Cambodia's largest commercial bank listed on the country's stock market Monday, the first lender to trade on the fledgling exchange despite uncertainty caused by the coronavirus pandemic. Aklena Bank became the sixth firm to join the Cambodia Securities Exchange, which opened in 2011, joining a garment factory, two state-owned ports, and a special economic zone. But initial fanfare for the kingdom's trading future has dimmed with the country's lack of financial literacy and a dearth of eligible companies being major obstacles. Aklena has been operating since 1993 and had assets of $6.1 billion at the end of 2019. Its market capitalization marked $1.75 billion, triple that of the five other listed companies on the Cambodia Securities Exchange. Its chairman and managing director, In Chani, said about 2,500 public investors became its shareholders Monday, opening a new chapter for Cambodia's financial sector. He downplayed the risk of debuting on the exchange during the pandemic. "If we were concerned about the virus, we would have not listed today. We've seen good process, good participation." The listing can serve as a role model for other banks and commercial institutions that wish or are still hesitating to raise capital from the stock market, said Economy and Finance Minister Onnut Purmonathrath at the opening ceremony. Economic growth is expected to slow to about 2.3%, according to the Asian Development Bank, after almost a decade of 7% expansion. For Business Scene, I'm Ira Melman.
A message from your friends at VOA Asia. Wash your hands with soap and water before you eat, after using the toilet, after touching anything many other people touch, like a seat on a public bus. Scrub thoroughly for 20 seconds. If you cannot wash your hands, use a hand sanitizer. Taking these steps can prevent not only coronavirus, but also colds and flu and other viruses. A message from your friends at VOA Asia.
The Philippines' biggest broadcaster asked the Supreme Court on Thursday to quash an order by the telecoms regulator to shut down its operations, saying it undermined freedom of speech and the public right to information. International Edition Steve Miller spoke with Stanley Gayete in Quezon City via Skype for the latest.
Yeah, Steve, about a week after it dropped a proposed 5-month provisional license, the House Franchise Committee on Tuesday afternoon started deliberation on bills for ABS-CBN's 25-year franchise. No hot debate was made during the first joint panel hearing committee. ABS-CBN made an opening salvo about the company's responsibility to the country in delivering news information, entertainment, and public service, most especially in times of crisis. ABS-CBN also explained on how important ABS-CBN to every household, especially now where most of the Filipinos are staying at home, needing information and awareness and protections against the COVID-19 virus. President and CEO Carlo Katigbak said that ABS-CBN is his family. Also, Katigbak said that they are not begging, but they are pleading to please return ABS-CBN on air and get back its operation in order to protect the employees, families, and the whole Filipino people. ABS-CBN also said it has 70 million viewers every week and that they are relying to the said TV channel as most are staying at home during COVID-19 lockdown. Even overseas Filipino workers were also emphasized that they are relying to ABS-CBN through TFC or the Filipino channel. On the other hand, Representative Rodanto Marcoleta said that ABS-CBN should not continue its operation anymore because of multiple reasons. Number one, ABS-CBN has been airing for more than 60 years, while Philippine franchise should only have a 50-year limit.
What was the rationale? Because this would prohibit any company from having a long-lasting, you know, opportunity to broadcast in the Philippines. You would have no continuity generation to generation.
Yeah, you're right, Steve. Actually, many were wondering why that representative said during the joint hearing committee, because the in Philippine law, there's only 25-year franchise. That's the length of for example, a franchise given to any TV network. And every 25 years, it's being renewed based on different legislations and different decisions of the Congress and the President if it will be approved. So it's very surprising to say that after 50 years you should be shut down just because it's beyond the 50-year length. While the ABS-CBN's main competitor, the GMA7, is now on its 70th year, and their franchise was granted 2017.
Stanley, ABS-CBN shares are continuing to fall. They have an enormous revenue shortfall because they aren't able to sell ads on TV because they have no franchise license to broadcast. How long are they thinking that they can continue some form of operations beyond the August deadline that they've kind of set right now?
Actually, it depends on the strategies of the executive committee of ABS-CBN. ABS-CBN has digital. They pioneered the OTT over the top, wherein you can download through mobile app. But as they said, it cannot compensate or equate to what the broadcast is earning.
International Edition Steve Miller speaking with Stanley Gaete in Quezon City. NASA astronauts are scheduled to blast off Wednesday afternoon atop a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket bound for the International Space Station. Together, they'll end a 9-year drop for NASA when they blast into orbit Wednesday from Florida's Kennedy Space Center. VOA's Arash Arabasadi reports.
NASA astronauts Robert Behnken and Doug Hurley arrived in Florida on Wednesday. Once strapped in a new spacecraft, the two are scheduled to become the first American sent to space from U.S. soil since 2011.
It's probably a dream of every test pilot school student to have the opportunity to fly on a brand new spaceship, and I'm lucky enough to get that opportunity with my good friend here, Doug Hurley.
We've been to space before, but we've also worked a very, very long time in this collaboration with SpaceX to get to the launch pad.
The historic launch marks the first time a private company like SpaceX and not a national government will send astronauts into orbit.
And liftoff of the United Launch Alliance Atlas V rocket.
Aboard this Atlas V rocket rides one of the U.S. Air Force's two orbital test vehicles, also known as the X-37B. Details remain classified, including its length in orbit and mission purpose. This was the sixth launch in the solar-powered plane's history. Its first flight was in 2010, and since then, an X-37B has been in orbit a total of 7 years and 10 months.
And we have liftoff.
A rocket launched from Tanegashima Space Center in southern Japan early Wednesday morning. NASA says the H-11B rocket is carrying experiments and supplies to the International Space Station, or ISS. Meanwhile, aboard the ISS, astronauts like Christina Cook share stories with children back on Earth.
Welcome to Storytime for Space, to all of you in school, at home, or at your local library, or wherever you may be.
NASA says Storytime from Space aims to inspire student engagement in science, technology, engineering, and math, or STEM. With it, NASA says, educators can help grow the next crop of astronauts. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News, Washington.
A growing number of companies from different countries are developing different shapes and sizes of delivery robots. Some of them move around indoors, while others head to the streets outdoors. VOA's Elizabeth Lee has details on what they are delivering and why they're needed.
Delivery vehicles of all sizes are filling city streets in an age when everything you can imagine can be sent to your door with just a click of a button. As e-commerce grows, delivery drivers will need help, says Ivo Bognolo, co-founder of Italian tech company Innovia.
Joyce will collaborate with van, and Joyce will be integrated with the bicycle. That's the future that we foresee.
This type of droid called Yape is designed to help a human driver deliver even more packages. With a QR code like this, a person can scan it on the droid to open the door. There may be several compartments inside, and the doors can open in the same way for someone to retrieve mail or a package. Bognolo says Yape can deliver food or mail at times when a human cannot.
If you want to deliver during the night, if you want to have a 24-hour service, you cannot do it with bicycles, you cannot do it with van.
A droid may be especially relevant when self-driving cars fill the streets.
All the analysts are foreseeing is a reduction of the number of vehicles on the streets. That means that there will be more space for something else.
Innovia aims to deploy these droids for consumers in 2020. Also this year, the Chinese robotics company Pudu Tech is launching Bellabot.
It's able to help the people to deliver food from the kitchen to the table.
Through artificial intelligence, this robot cat will respond when its ears are rubbed and comes with intelligent trays with sensors
to figure out if some dishes already on the tray or not.
As seen in this Pudu Tech promotional video, earlier models of Pudu robots are already deployed in more than 20 countries, working Indian restaurants and hotels, whether it's inside a restaurant or out on the streets, as seen in this Innovia promotional video, robots are quickly being integrated into the landscape of everyday life. While some will help humans, others may replace them completely. Elizabeth Lee, VOA News, Las Vegas.
Thank you for joining us. Thanks to our managing editor, Diane Gao. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Have a good day and stay safe.